today. By your PD, wanted it to be Christmas. Your missions committee wanted it to be missions. So we're doing both of those from Isaiah, which has more in it about missions than Messiah, actually. I've counted them up. My Bible, 65 M's in the margin for mission. But it's about both. So we want to look at Isaiah 9. It's just so good for Carol and I to be able to be here with you today. It was very formative for us being here at Columbia Presbyterian Church as interns. How many here were part of the mother church down 29? Okay, a few people, all right? And we were there. We came to Fort Meade back when Marines guarded that place over there. And any of you heard those stories about those days? And we joined the mother church of Columbia Presbyterian Church, came here with newly married, no kids. We had our first, and then went to Camp Lejeune, but came under care of the presbyter here to go to seminary. And then we went to seminary. You sent us to as the mother church sent us to seminary with three kids, came out of seminary with four kids, came here with four kids to, actually number four was born here, and we went to Japan with four, and we were tempted one day coming back from session meeting, Elder Al Bjerkus, I would drive him home after session meeting, and he said, you know, Dan, you and Carol really fit in well here. Maybe you shouldn't go to Japan. And we got to Japan, and learning that language and all the struggles, and many times I thought, I should have listened to Al and not gone to Japan. But that was, you sent us December 6th, 36 years ago this week. Thank you. Heard a Japanese a missionary say, instead of telling the taxi driver, oroshite kudasai, let me out right here, he said, koroshite kudasai, kill me right here. And another missionary wanted to say, we need more vision. And instead he said, we need more bijin, which means beautiful woman. He told her, we need more beautiful women, or I can't be your pastor. Our church needs more bijin. And in those, and mine are worse than that. And I'm so thankful you all sent us to Japan, because I am a proud, boastful person, and became like a little baby. And we had committed to 12 years, and it was so hard those early years with no fruit. It was just so difficult. Wanted to quit all the time, but your prayers, your giving sustained us, and the Lord began to bless. A presbytery was born, and 36 years this Tuesday. So thank you for sending us. And I hope today, as we read this text and think about Christmas and missions, that the Holy Spirit would work in me and in you as we read this together. Let's hear God's word, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Deep darkness, great light, agonizing gloom, increasing joy. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. You have broken as on the day of Midian, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word now this Christmas season, think about Christmas and the Messiah who came that this text speaks of. And as we think about him being the Savior of the whole world and our part in that, would you come speak through me, Lord? I'm jet lagged, woke up at 3:30, just wide awake and tired. Pray you'd help me in my weakness to bring this message. Pray for my brothers and sisters here as we look at these scriptures and think about this, that you would work in all of us, O Lord, our own walk with you, our joy in you, and our part, what you're calling us to be, how to be a part of what you're doing in Columbia and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Deep darkness, great light, these verses speak of. Agonizing gloom, increasing joy. You see this picture here? Could you think of these people here, 12 boys and one man, haven't eaten for a week. They have had no light for a week. They think they're dying. They've lost all hope. And right when you, this picture right here, they are full of joy. Anybody know when this, remember this? The boys in Thailand, the whole world was captivated by this story. They went in a cave with their soccer coach, right? Everybody remember? And as the water came in, as the rain came and they kept going back, they were 4 kilometers, 2.5 miles back in the cave. Their flashlights gave out. Of course, they had no food, had plenty of water, but they just think about being in, this text speaks of utter darkness, you know, deep darkness. To think of the despair as they, I've read that story and heard of it recently, read more about it, what it must have been like in that coach trying to keep them together and keep them alive. But that second, when those British divers, the whole world came, from scores of countries, hundreds and thousands of people trying to figure out ways to get, Elon Musk was going to try to dig a tunnel to get to them, but impossible. But when those divers kept going further and further, and they came out of the water, can you imagine what those boys thought when they saw that light come out of the water and there was hope of rescue for them? What joy there is. There is joy in the light and joy that comes from knowing our Savior Jesus Christ. We want to think about that today. Let's think first about these first verses, this deep darkness, this agonizing gloom. We live in Japan, so I come back to America, I think I'm in a third world country because stuff doesn't work. Japan, everything works. Japan wanted to. It's amazing. I said, how can this country make everything work so well? It's like the trains, the telephones, everything's clean, and they were such a proud country. Really wanted to show off the Tokyo to the world. Often I just think, why can't Amtrak come and study how we do our trains here? all these years, Carol told me recently in Japan that she finally had a Coke machine not work in Japan. I still have 36 years, and never stole my money. One time I was in a train station up in the Northern Island, and I put my money in, and I thought it stole my money, the ticket machine. And I said, yay, it was about the 20-year mark. Yay, finally, they're not perfect. Something broke. And the Japanese pastor I was with, he says, no, Dan, chigaimasu, the machines are different up here. You did it wrong. I made a mistake. this incredible country. But as you look, if you research the joy index in the world of different countries, Japan is really, really low. People are very sad. Depression is rampant. You would even think that, after World War II, beaten down to atomic bombs dropped on them. And I often ask, and I remind Japanese people of this, and this is sad to talk about suicide, but this is real. This is life and death, and in Japan, which do you think was the highest suicide rate. Now, when Japan is very, very rich and everything works, and the, you know, way lower infant mortality rate than America and all kinds of other things, they beat us on. So do you think the suicide rate was higher after World War II when Japan is dirt poor, beaten down, burned to the ground so many cities, or now? And the answer is now. Doesn't that tell us? It seems counterintuitive. It shows us that wealth and 100% literacy rate and health care for everyone doesn't work to give the joy that every single human being longs for. This promise here is about no more gloom because the light is coming. We look in verse 3, 4 times it uses the word joy here. It gives the example of like a harvest in the USA. This is hard for us to picture this. You know, really no food and the difficulty of no food. Our daughter is in a third world country, poorest country in Asia, and they see people that don't have food and that are really, really struggling. But we just celebrated Thanksgiving. You remember how many people died the first year of the pilgrims? Half of the 103 or 104 that came died the first year. And why did they do Thanksgiving? To give thanks for the harvest. And that's what this verse 3 is about here. This joy of a harvest. That's the kind of joy that as we head toward verse 6, that this Messiah is going to bring to us. There's this joy. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. This theme of joy is all through the Bible. It's something that to me has in more recent time I've become very excited thinking about the joy that comes from this. Now in verse 4 and 5 we see the joy that comes from someone defeating your enemies. Look at the end of verse 3. They are glad when they divide the spoil. Now we Americans don't like these verses in the Bible about war. But I think what's going on in Ukraine will help us understand the last line of verse 3 and verse 4, the yoke of the burden. These are, you know, the defeating the enemies. And if you look at this picture, you know who these people are? But when you guess what city they're from? It's a picture from the news these last weeks. They're from Kherson. Why are they rejoicing? They are, you know, there are a bunch of pictures of the people in Kherson, Ukraine. Why are they rejoicing? Because of this kind of thing this text is talking about. When evil oppressors who raped and killed and hurt are defeated, there's great joy for the people in some of those other cities we've been reading about in Ukraine, right? After they're driven out and defeated, after the enemy is driven out and defeated, there's this promise of great joy. Westminster Shorter Catechism number 1. Do y'all still say that here sometimes at this church? What's the chief end of man? Glorify God. Okay, anybody want to say it in Japanese? This is from a sermon 2 weeks ago in Japan. I just put this slide in here. You know, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. PD, don't tell our presbytery this, but you know, sometimes I actually question this one. Was I get glorify God? For sure. If you're going to pick two things, the first question, to say this is really central to what God calls us to be and do, is to glorify Him, yeah. But enjoy Him forever? Is that biblical, everyone? You know, the last couple years, I read a psalm a day, go through psalms twice a year, and I started circling in my Bible all the times it says joy, gladness, stuff like that. I showed you a picture of it. So you can see my Bible. When I went to seminary, I never knew that my Bible would be English on the left side of every page and Japanese on the right side of every page. That was not my plan. Our plan was to come back to Maryland and start a daughter church somewhere up here. But as you see that, you see all, I've been circling all the places in Psalms, and now in my whole Bible, that it speaks of joy. It is very central to the Bible. Do you believe that? I'm going to show you a couple. Put the next slide up here. You know, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. So many of the places you'll notice, start doing it. Circle the places. We talked about joy and gladness are connected to distress and hardship. That somehow, in the midst of this fallen world where we have sickness and calamity and war, there's this joy that trumps all the sadness. Like those boys in that cave, that the joy of being rescued trumped no food, trumped all the hard things they had just gone through. Or another, I love the picture of those folks in Kabul who look really sad, but then you blow up the picture and they're full of joy, even though they haven't eaten for days. They've been living in a sewer because they're that 850, was it, on one airplane being rescued from Kabul airport. Remember that last summer, you know? And you see, and the shout that goes up when the plane takes off, what trumped their no food, living in a sewer, all those days, passing babies over the wall trying to get, you remember that? Why were those 850? I wonder, how do they go to the toilet on that? You know what picture I'm talking about, right? On one of those big Air Force planes, you know, being rescued from there. Because rescue trumps everything. Trumps everything. And that's what we have in this. And all through the Bible, we see this. Psalm 70, verse 4. You know, the same thing. All who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Psalm 28, 7, and there are tons of them. This is the last one again. And I love this one in Japanese. Anybody want to guess what the Japanese is for exult? I didn't notice this till this past year, you know, reading my quiet time, reading English and Japanese. Dance. Actually, little dance. But you think exult in English, you kind of got to move a little bit. I saw some of the worship team moving a little bit. We're Presbyterian, but, you know, we can move a little bit, you know. You know, dancing. There's, you know, the joy of the Messiah and who is, salvation being rescued trumps everything. Can I believe that for my friend in Japan, Carol and I with him 3 weeks ago? I think the mom cried for 3 hours of the 3.5 hours we were together because their son committed suicide recently. And just praying for them as Christians, can they, in the agony of such a thing, can they, in their tears, rejoice? And look, the Bible says we can't. We cry, we weep, we struggle, but that there is this joy. Can Carol and me, I think this has been the saddest year of our life, for sure. Saddest year of our life and our marriage ever. With some heart. A very hard thing. And I as I thought about that and thought about preaching a sermon from Romans 5 on we rejoice in our salvation, not only this, we rejoice in our, what? Verse 3? Afflictions. Our suffering. You know? And thinking, you think, okay, cancer, yes. Even with cancer, I rejoice. All this. But this? Yes. God's call in the agony and the struggles of this fallen world, that there's something greater, that trust in our sovereign Lord and the Jesus who this text speaks of, our Savior, that we can rejoice even in these sad things. Maybe that's one of the applications for you today. Praying for yourself, telling your small group, would you pray for me that I can rejoice in that? And who is the one that brings that joy? It is the Messiah of verse 6. Jesus is the one, the promised Messiah here. He's the light. Jesus, he's the light that comes out of the gloom. You know, he said, I am the light of the world. He's the wonderful counselor for all of those who are depressed. He's the best counselor. Yeah, we need to go to others to help us go to him. But he is the one. He is the mighty God, as a worship leader said. That was great. He's the God-man, the only one who could obey the law in our place, keep the law in our place, die on the cross for our sins, and ever lives to make intercession for our sin. He's the everlasting Father in Japan. Often, as I, one of the first in baptism class, The first one I do is in the prodigal son story and the love of the father. And the father running to welcome back his son. And what I came to see, and I think it's true here as well, not all of us have a picture of a father who really is, I had a very loving father. He's 94, he's still my mentor, love him so much, and really loved me, loved my mom, loved us kids so well. There is not all of us have that here. But as I began to teach and preach a lot on that and the love of our Heavenly Father, the joy for folks who know of a father like that or those who don't know of a father like that, that we do have. We do know of the Father's love. And here it calls the Messiah in the mystery of it all and of the Trinity, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How we need the peace that Jesus brings. He's the Messiah for all nations. Let's think about that now. Okay, I'm now mission committee. Sandy, I'm going to salute and obey what you want to say. Now, where are we going to have to? We're going to have to do eisegesis, or can we do exegesis here to help this text help us see about missions and this gospel, this Jesus being for the whole world? Right in verse one, it's interesting, Sandy. A commentary you have on your desk, I noticed this morning, Isaiah, and I looked to see if he saw this too, and he did. And that he speaks of Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles. There's a hint here of the theme that Isaiah addresses a lot, this hint in this passage, this great passage about the Messiah who's coming, that where, you know, Jesus was Jesus of Galilee, Galilee of the nation. In verse 3, it says, you have multiplied the nation. And we say, okay, what does that mean, you have multiplied the nation? We let Scripture interpret Scripture. And I am just amazed, as I mentioned in the beginning, of how Isaiah is so full of all of these passages about the world, and that this gospel is for all the nations. And Matthew Henry, famous Bible commentary, in his introduction to Isaiah, he calls Isaiah the fifth gospel because it's so much about the gospel. And I read very carefully, getting ready for this, looking to see if he says anything about it being a book about the gospel for the whole world, and he doesn't. Now, he does as he speaks about this text and other places, but in his introduction, he didn't. But as you go through Isaiah, as I mentioned, I have 65 M's in my Bible. I went through them again this morning because I got up really early with my jet lag. There, it's everywhere in Isaiah. Did I put one of them up here? For the earth shall, all of you know this verse, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse. Friend, who is the root of Jesse? It's Jesus who's coming. The Messiah is coming. Will stand as a banner for whom? For all peoples. They asked peoples. I thought peoples was bad English when I went to seminary. You know what peoples? You know, Carol and I went to seminary sent by Mother Church. I had not thought for one second about being a missionary to another country. Not for one second in my life. My first friend on campus was a Japanese pastor studying there. Missions conference, the first semester, the preacher went from Genesis to Revelation, showing that Abraham, in your seed, who will be blessed, everyone? All the nations of the earth will be blessed. And, you know, and he marched through the whole Bible, the Psalms and the prophets, and the New Testament, and ending in Revelation, those gathering before the throne, from where? Every tongue, every tribe, all peoples, all nations, you know, that began to see, man, I was a missing S Christian, had missed this S, that this is a promise of the whole Bible, and a promise we see especially in Isaiah. It is all through Isaiah. Let me just read a few of them to you. I don't have time, but this is very connected to John Piper's book, Let the Nations Be Glad, Psalm 67, 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. There's this theme of joy for all nations is all through the Bible. Isaiah 2, verse 3. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Isaiah 25, 5 and 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for whom? All peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine. This feast, this bread of life, is for all peoples. Isaiah 42. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from where? From the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in you. You islands. I love that, being a missionary to Japan. You islands and all who live in them. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. Isaiah, I'll skip through to some others. Psalm 50, or Isaiah 56, 7. My house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Friends, this is not peripheral to the Bible or to Isaiah. Isaiah 60, verse 3, the nations will come to your light, this light we speak of at Christmas. And Isaiah ends in chapter 66, I am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. You agree? All of Isaiah, the whole Bible, this is what God calls us to be a part of as we go, this gospel is for all nations. What is my part in doing and being a part of that? Our response to Jesus the Messiah and his rescue of us. Let's think about that for a few minutes here as we end. Worship first. What do you think those boys in that Thai cave thought of their rescuers? It's guys who came from all over the world. It was two, I'm sure Sandy likes this, British guys who finally got far enough in to find them. Did you know that? They're British guys that came to rescue them. One guy died, a Thai SEAL died. They had found the boys and they were trying to figure out how to get them out. You know, it was really quite a difficult thing, of course, 4 kilometers in, 2.5 miles in to get them out in the water, you know. And this picture is the picture of the Thai SEAL who died. Do you think those boys and their families did everything they could do to go and honor him at his funeral? Are you here? Hello? Would they not have reordered the business of the day and everything else to go say thank you to his family, to honor the one who gave his life to rescue them? I use that in other illustrations in Japan, because in Japan there's not, in Buddhist and Shinto worship, there's not the idea of gathering to worship. It's people just go, they throw their money in and they leave. You know, it's just, and so there's not a sense people come to Christ with this idea of what do we do when we want to honor George for turning 90, or what do we do when my dad turned 90? We gathered lots of people to remember him, to celebrate him. Friends, that's what we do coming out of COVID here. This is a good thing to remember. I'm glad we can do things online, but to gather together to say Jesus came, this Messiah came and gave his life for us. God, the mighty God, did this for us. And we say, we want to gather. We want to order our events to remember. It's often, I tell people in Japan, a lot of times you're not going to want to come be a part of worship. But here, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. 90% of the time, after you come and join worshiping God, that you say, that was good. That was honored God, but it was good for me too. Right? Wouldn't you say that? That's the same with us too. To order it. Worship is one of our applications. Another application, trust him. Do you know how they got those boys out of the cave? Anybody remember? It is incredible. The British diver who found them do we teach them how to scuba dive? But the water's coming higher with the monsoons. We got to get them out fast. He called a friend, actually told Thai government workers to find a friend that he knew in Australia who was an anesthesiologist. Anybody remember this story? And the guy who is an anesthesiologist who also does cave diving flew him in from Australia. You know what they did? They put the coach and all the boys under and brought them 2.5 kilometers to safety. What would you have said? No one fought them. That's pretty scary. Let me read what one of the guys says. His name is Richard Harris, an Australian. When he heard it, my immediate response was, absolutely not. I can't think of a more certain way to sentence those boys to death than give them an anesthetic and then try to bring them out underwater 2.5 kilometers. Isn't that incredible? When did you change your mind? The interviewer asked him. Well, really, it was during that day. I think it was probably that morning that Craig and I did our first dive, that after the night of meetings and discussions with the British divers and all the Thai rescue authorities, it really seemed like there was no other option for bringing the kids out unless they were sedated. What in the world does this have to do with this sermon? None of those boys said, I got this. We can save ourselves. Isn't that a great illustration of what, when we come to Jesus, any of you here that haven't come to Jesus yet, this Messiah who came and gave his life for you, you don't say, let me just try a little harder. In Japan, that's the problem. Everyone says they start coming to Bible study or worship or black gospel singing group or something, and they say, I'm not good enough yet. So, friend, you're never going to get. The more you come and read the Bible, the more you're going to realize how far away you are. And you have no hope except to trust. To say, Jesus, take me. I'm yours. There's no other hope except Jesus. We give ourselves to him. Maybe some of you today, or maybe some who do believe in Jesus, but you're trying to do it all on your own. To say afresh, Jesus, I'm yours. Take me. I want to follow you. I want to trust you with this part of my life. And last application, I think, is to be a part of this worldwide rescue effort. You know, I had some other verses in Isaiah that talk about this. To go and tell, take the light to the nations, because of time here. I mean, just look at 6:8, three chapters back. The famous, here I am, send me. When Isaiah the prophet sees the thrice holy God and sees his sin and what a desperate sinner he is before the thrice holy God. And the seraphim comes and there's the coal and his sins are forgiven. And God says, who shall I send? And Isaiah's answer in response to that gospel is, here I am, send me. And that's what today I'm asking you. There's so many places in the world, people have not got a clue of what Christmas means. Last Christmas in Japan, I started asking, because they say, Meri Kurismasu, they say it. So I started asking, if you're a foreigner, one of the advantages of being a foreigner in Japan is you can get away with talking to people on the trains and buses and taxis and everything. And one of our Japanese pastors said one day, we're talking to somebody on the train, said, Don-san, if I did that like you did, they would call the police on me. You know, it's not part of the culture, but I get away with it. And I started asking, do you know what Meri Kurismasu means? I could not. Probably 15 or more people I asked, not one person knew Meri, because Meri, they say it from English, but they don't know the word. Joyful. And Kurismasu, because they come from English instead of Christ Mass. It doesn't sound, the name Christ is not in their word for Christmas. And no one knew that Christ is the center of Christmas. And there are so many places out there in the world, friends, that have almost nothing. I think, you know, in all the time here in America when I'm back here, I just meet Christians. One time on a plane, there were two guys on each side of me. Both of them were serious gospel-believing Christians. We are having fellowship together on the plane. And in Japan, I think now, in 36 years, Tuesday, I think it's happened to me maybe 10 times that I've met a Christian out and around, you know, not in our church or in our town where I know people. So there's a world out there that is saying, would you, how might God call you? Like those, the world came to help rescue those Thai boys. You know, no one commanded them to. It was like Isaiah 6, God doesn't say, I'm sending you. He says, who will go for me in response to this grace? Who will go for me? And one of the things the mission committee wants us to think about, would you prayerfully think to say, Lord, what could I do to be a part of it? They need to rescue the Thai boy. They needed an anesthesiologist. They needed people to bring food to the cave. They needed, there were thousands of people involved in the rescue and the rescue of the world to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Needs all kinds of gifts, all kinds of people to come and be a part of that. Not just pastor church planners like me, like this picture of this table. Here's our dining room table. George, this was my dad's 90th anniversary. And Carol and I were desperate to go back to celebrate his 90th anniversary. But we had all these interns living at our house that someone needed to take care of and be there. This couple, an elder and his wife from a PCA church in Nashville, they said, we'll come. And they came and they filled in for 2 weeks. They lived in our house. They drove them. They mentored them. They loved them. I bet there's a lot of people here who could do things like this. All around the world, there's any, they, you know, in their 70s, came and did. Isn't that wonderful? There's a ton of things to do around the world. Let me tell you about the other people. Kathy, at the end of the table, 17-year-old girl, at a missions conference, she heard about our team, and we need teachers, intern teachers, teaching 3, 4, 5 kids in our little school. She came, and she served for 6 months, said, can I be extended? This really fits me, and stayed a year. The girl, see, short-term missions is a great way to test your gifts and to see if this is what God is calling you to be. Some of you young people, I see you listening right here. Maybe when you're 17 or 18, you can come, you know, Lydia on the far right corner, Lydia had heard at a missions conference where I preached, she heard about the idea of coming for a year and being an intern. And she came and served and helped one of our, she's a musician on the worship team at her PCA church, and she wanted to go help one of the new church plants, playing the guitar every week, and that's what she did for the whole time she was there on Sundays. She went and helped a brand new church plant, learned to sing in Japanese, you know, Lydia. From Palm Bay, Florida. The next gal is Rachel on the right there. Rachel, PCA pastor's daughter. She said, I don't really want to go to a first world country, and I don't really want to be a school teacher, but this is the only place that will take me right now. I'll come. 6 months through her time in Japan, she lived at her house, 24-year-old, fine young lady. Rachel says, Dan and Carol, could I talk to you tonight about coming back? We say, yes, you can. And Rachel is back in Japan now as is one of the teachers and leaders in our school, being used of God in the lives of lots of people and a part of a local church there, helping a church. You know, now the other across the table was another 24-year-old girl, Rainey. Rainey said, I want to be a teacher in a mission school overseas. And she came. And about 6 months into it, faithful young lady, loves Jesus. She said, this is not for me. And the short-term mission, she now is involved in campus ministry in the States with folks from other countries. But she saw how God was calling her through her experience with missions. This next couple, retired in California. He's Chinese-American, met his wife in Japan when they were in their 20s. She's Japanese. They came to Christ in California when they were 40. It's Charlie and Yumiko. And in a good church, discipled. But he was sure, when I retire from sales, I am going to go to the Bahamas and surf. Or we're down in the island somewhere. He was a surfer. That's what he was going to do. And then he read John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life. Don't read that book, baby. You need to tell it. No, please read that book, you know. And he read that. He and his wife read that book. They showed up on our doorstep in Japan one day. They've been on our team there for 4 years now, saying, how can we use our gifts? They teach English. They love people, hospitality, just serving people and sharing the gospel. And they are so happy. He says, I still love surfing, and it's not as good in Japan as where I wanted to go. Friends, we say the same thing. We were hesitant missionaries, and we say, thank you, CPC, and all our other who sent us to Japan. We had the great privilege of starting a church in a town that had no church. You know, wow, hardship, struggles, and so much more joy than we ever could have imagined to be a part of what God is doing in Japan. Thank you for sending us. So the last, Isaiah 6:8, your response today. Might you say, Jesus, would you pray this? How are you calling me to be a part of mission? Thinking today particularly about the whole world, but everywhere. Would you take one of these little pieces of paper? I'm never coming back, and I'm going to tell the missions committee, cut off our support if all these pieces of paper are not gone. Okay, no, I'm not. I wish I had the faith to say that. How about be willing to commit 1 hour to take a piece of paper, consider prayerfully committing 1 hour. We're going to have 3 meetings, 1 on Zoom and 2 live meetings next weekend. I'm coming back up to Chapel Gate Sunday. And we're going to have meet where you can watch a 20-minute video, hear some things about call, opportunities around the world, and then Q&A time. And I promise we will end in 1 hour. Now, those who want to stay and talk, I'll stay as long as you want. But we'll do that. Isn't that to consider? How might you be a part? Or here's another way. I couldn't do that, Dan. How about to join 1 prayer meeting for an hour to pray for the world that needs this? What a great, all the gifts that Jesus has given us and all we have in a great church. Say, I'm going to give an hour to pray. Take one of the papers out. Sandy, mission team, help me know how I could join for an hour in a Zoom prayer meeting or something to pray for the world and for lost, needy places in the world. Is that a reasonable request to say in response? Remember to what Jesus has done for us. This joy we have in Him this Christmas as we celebrate what Jesus has done. Remember the taking that joy to the whole world as we sing. I thought I was hoping you'd sing it today. Joy to the world. Probably will next week or the week after. Last, I'll close with this story. Sorry for a long sermon. I don't get to come very much, so this was 2 or 3 put together here. Vivid memory, seared into my mind that I've told 100 times in Japan of worship at Columbia Presbyterian Church when we were in the Stone House and I was an intern. And one of our dear sisters here had lost her son. And it had happened before, baby, after birth. And I didn't think, and the whole church was praying for them and their struggle and had this hardship, this losing a son for another time, after birth. It was so hard. And I didn't think she would come to worship that day. And she did. And I was standing behind her, and after the message, and thinking, oh, this is hard to be here. This is, you know, the agony, the struggle, and after the sermon, the song was Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners. Remember that song? You know that song? In the Trinity hymn, I was looking for one because I wasn't sure about one of the words. Jesus, what? I looked ahead to verse 3, and I'm thinking, how is she going to respond with the agony that she has been through? Said, Jesus, what a help in sorrow. When the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, He, my helper, comforts my soul. And I thought, how is she going to sing this in the midst of maybe the greatest agony any of us can have in losing a child, you know? I was standing right behind her there in the stone house. And she was singing along. And when we got to the chorus, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend." She threw her hands into the air, even though we're a Presbyterian church, to praise Jesus, our Messiah, who comes to bring joy and light to us, to Columbia, and to the whole world. Let's pray. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Jesus, forgive our sins. We don't rejoice in you. We let this little stuff take us away from your joy. Lord, teach us about your joy. A fruit of the Spirit. We can't work it up ourselves. It's a fruit of knowing you. Holy Spirit, work this joy in us. Help us to spread this joy, even in our tears, like our sister did that day, worshiping you. Lord, we have so many struggles and challenges. We're living in a fallen world. Would you show us more this Christmas of the joy of knowing you, that you came to bring light in the darkness, that you came to bring joy from that gloom that this sad world is in and the people around us. Pray for the kids who are here today. Maybe today's a day. Say, "Mommy, Daddy, I do want to trust Jesus and believe. Put my faith in him. Profess my faith publicly in Jesus." Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a friend. Lord, would you continue to help Columbia Presbyterian Church taking this joy of Christmas to Columbia and to the ends of the earth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.